I want you to turn with me tonight to a sermon God gave me last week. That's good. Oh, you're going to love this. You people watching by television, hang on to your couch, because you're going to fall off of it after a while. The Spirit of God is going to come right in your living room and touch you right where you are. Because this sermon, nobody can misunderstand. Turn with me tonight to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. That is in the Old Testament. Some people don't know where it's at. Now you do, praise God. People say, why do you say that? It's in the Old Testament. You'd be surprised how many people have never read the Bible. You'd be surprised how many people go to church every Sunday and have never read the Word of God. That is amazing to me. Because they were told that if they read the Word of God, they'd go crazy. How many people that was told to you? Hold your hand up. Be honest. It's true. They tell you that, man. Don't read the Bible, you'll go crazy. No, you'll go slap nuts if you don't read it. I mean that. You will become a theological fool. You will not have a knowledge of God's word or his power or his wisdom. To know God is to know his word. There was a man in the ranks. He was called the cupbearer. And his name was Nehemiah. And he worked for a certain king. And God gave him a vision as he gave Pastor Che. And it was just such a blessing of God. And God said, Nehemiah, I want you to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Which was a big task. Because Nehemiah was a conquered foe. He was actually conquered. He was a Jew, conquered by another nation. And God moved upon the king. And the king said, Nehemiah, go build this wall that you want to do. Or go rebuild it, whatever. And the city of God had laid in desolation. And when the wall wasn't built, that was a sign when the wall was built that no one or no enemy could come into that city. It showed strength. And Nehemiah has done a phenomenal job building this wall, rebuilding it. Naturally, the problems came from within. People begin to get mad when the vision of God comes to pass. People will get angry at you when the vision that God has given you starts coming to pass. When you begin to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out, they call you overbalanced. When you're not getting sick no more, they think, bless God, he's been seduced by faith. Glory to God. Notice that. When your vision begins to come to pass, the church world will stand up and look at you and say, you're extreme. But I don't care what the world says. If God said, go to the world and preach the gospel, the world belongs to God, and we're going to run the devil off this planet. This is God's place. And this is the kind of determination that Nehemiah had. He said, I'll build this wall no matter what anybody says. I'm going to do the vision of God. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible reads, I'm reading out of the American Standard. It says this. Now it came about when it was reported to Sanballat and Tobiah and to Geshem the Arab and to the rest of our enemies, notice their enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and that no breach or no hole remained in it, although at that time I had not set up the doors in the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, come, let us meet together at Cherapim in the plain of Ono. But they were planning to harm me or to do mischief to me. Notice where they was going to meet at the plain. The word plain there in the original Greek means the valley. The valley of Ono. Notice it. O-N-O. I want to talk tonight about the valley of Ono. It's in the book. I just read it to you. I want to talk. You'll never forget this sermon. Notice this. Of all places that people want Nehemiah to go, it's in the valley of, oh no. Because certainly mischief would come to him. Notice the next verse. So I sent messages to them saying, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should I work? Why should the work stop while I leave it and came down to you? And they sent me messages to me four times in this manner, and I answered them in the same way. And I want to go back to verse 2. That Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, come, let us meet together at Carapim in the plain of Ono. No, everybody say Ono. Is that how that's spelled? What does that say? Ono. You people watching my television, get ready, because you've been in the valley of oh no, but we're going to show you how to get out the valley of oh no to the valley of oh yes. Glory to God. It's going to happen. Jesus is going to minister. I want to talk tonight about the valley of oh no. Have you ever been there? Lift your hand up. And most people make two or three trips. Most people have bought a summer house in the Valley of Ono. Of all places that people want to meet Nehemiah, he's in the Valley of Ono. I never forget when God said, Jesse, I want you to go into the ministry. I went, oh, no, no, not me. But the Valley of Ono is in the Bible, and the Valley of Ono is even in Metairie. And anywhere you may live, title of the sermon, The Valley of Ono. I want you to understand something. Most people live in that valley. And most people don't understand the power and the authority. It makes no difference where you are, because God never leaves you or forsakes you. And most people will say, oh, no, not me. I can't do that. Even Moses said it. God said, Moses, go to Egypt and deliver my people. He went, oh, no. Of all places, not the Valley of Oh, No. Certainly, Lord, you wouldn't want me to go there. Certainly, they're going to do mischief to me in the Valley of Oh, No. Jesus had a Valley of Oh, No, and it was the Garden Gethsemane. He knelt down and sweat blood, or drops of sweat as blood. And he said, Lord, if this cup can pass from me. Oh, no. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When I broke that string, Doug went into the valley of oh, no. He looked in there and went, oh, no. I want to talk about that tonight. And we're going to stay on that particular subject. Listen to this point. The Bible is one long history of God's controversy with his opponents. That's what I'm saying. The Bible is one long history of God's controversy with his opponents. Are you an opponent of God? Do you fight against God or do you flow with God? When God said, let's go to the valley of oh no, and you go, oh no, God, not me. I don't want to do that. You see, I've been in the valley many times myself. There's been times God told me to stand up on an airplane and lift my hands and praise God. And the first thing I went was, oh, no, God, not here. He said, close your eyes, Jesse. Nobody will see you. And most people answer God with that particular word. Oh, no. When God says, you say, I'm going to give a good offering, Lord. I'm going to give 100. And God said, give 1,000. You go, oh, no. Oh, no. My wife said, no, no, no. I never forget one time the Lord told me to give $10,000 to a particular ministry. Not this one. But I did, didn't I? The Lord told me to give $10,000 to this church. I'm not bragging on myself, and I did. And I thought that was enough. And I'm not a rich man. Don't misunderstand me, because I'm not. But then he sent me to another place. He said, give $10,000 here. I went, oh, no. I said, I've got to ask my wife. I leaned over to Kathy and said, God just told me to give $10,000. She said, give it. I went, oh, no. Jesus. She agrees with God. She was not an opponent of God. She was flowing with God. The Valley of Ono. Have you been there? Listen to the point. The Bible is one long history of God's controversy with his opponents. Don't you become God's opponent. If you'll walk in obedience, you may not think, bless God, in your finite mind that victory here can build a building bigger than this and pay for it. You may think, oh no, we just put another addition on the building. Oh no. See, you need to get out of the valley of oh no and get into the valley of oh yes. Whatever God said, go do it. I'm going to do it. It makes no difference how. Just do what God said. God will provide the provision for you to do something. God don't send people out unless he's going to put something in their hand to use. Now, he may not put in your hand what you think he will. He put in Gideon's hand a trumpet and a water pitcher and like 300 freaky musicians. He figured he'd have at least 33,000 men to fight a battle. But no, God gave him 3 freaked out musicians. Hey, brother, where the battle, man? We're going to blow some horn here. Which makes no sense. Maybe you've had problems with the rock church. Maybe you went, oh, no. It don't work that way. Why do you think, why wouldn't it? Let me tell you something. Everything the devil's ever done, he's robbed from God. He's never had an original plan for himself. He's an antichrist. Now, I want to tell you something. There's going to be a lot of preachers when they get to heaven. They're going to freak out when they get there. They think they're going to be hearing, bringing in the sheaves. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. But when they're going to get up there, they're going to hear some of that. All of a sudden, they're going to go over to another section. And it'll be, dong, 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 down, dong, dong, down. Wow! And you know where they're going to go? In heaven, they're going to go, oh, no! Not even here. I'm pretty sure when God told her, let me tell you something. When a son-in-law and a mother-in-law get together, which is Pastor Cho. What's the mother-in-law's name? Pastor Che? Say, what's the name of your son-in-law? Cho. What's the name of your mother-in-law? Che. Makes sense to me? When you got a mother-in-law behind a son-in-law, they're going to do something. Mother-in-laws have ways of making you move. Pastor Cho and Sister Che. That's good. I like that. Glory to God. And I'm pretty sure people said, oh, no. Oh, no. It's impossible. Oh, no. See, they have become an opponent of God when God said, go and take that city. See, that's what happened to the nation of Israel. They stayed in the valley of oh, no, and died. Only 2 came out of the valley of oh, no, and they were Joshua and Caleb. And both of them said, give me my land that belongs to me. I want you to turn with me to Jude chapter 1. Y'all thought I messed up, didn't you? Jude 21. Listen to the point as you turn into Jude 21. The Bible is one long history of God's controversy with his opponents. Jude 21 says this. Keep yourselves. Everybody say myself. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. You see, if you keep yourselves in the love of God, you won't look at how much money it takes to run the kingdom of God. Because, my God, money will be nothing to you compared to what money can do for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know what I look for? I look for mercy. Oh, I give mercy, so I want mercy. When I see somebody mess up, I don't get mad at them and say, that big bozo brain, I give them mercy. I say, glory to God. Lord, maybe one day I may blow it and mess up. And if I give mercy, I'm going to receive mercy. But a lot of times there'll be a lot of people standing on outside of the valley of oh no. You're in the middle of the valley going, oh no, God, gloom and despair and agony on me. And you got somebody up on top of the level saying, hey, you big fool, if you listen to me, you'd have never been in the valley of oh no. People don't need to be stomped on, they need to be lifted up. The Bible said in Jude 21, keep yourselves. Notice that God doesn't do that, you do that. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Have you ever been in the valley of oh no? I want you to think about that for a minute. See, When I drove home after that golf game with Pastor Frank, I never knew my pastor had machonism. I like Brother Jay. The pastor's macho. Do y'all think Frank's macho? Paris does. Hallelujah. I could say something else, but I will not. I'll keep that to myself. Macho. Macho Frank. Frank going, you hadn't got your offering yet. Shut your mouth. Hallelujah, Lord. I decided that even though sometimes I walk in the valley of, oh, no, that I will not be an opponent of God. Because even in the valley of, oh, no, God is with me. He said he never leaves me or forsakes me. Did you hear that? So many people, I wish they would believe that word. That God never leaves them or forsakes them. Because, you know, they talk faith with their mouth, but their actions are totally opposite of what their mouth is saying. They're talking, bless God, we're going through, we're coming out. But their actions saying, oh, Jesus. I've heard people talk faith and fail. And people say, you see, that don't work. And I said, the reason why it didn't work, because their actions wasn't in line with their faith. Faith without works is dead. They got some people trying to do works with no faith. That's how you get into the realm of the flesh. But faith and works together will produce a byproduct or a manifestation of what you desire. Now, I want you to listen to this point. People full of faith are also full of power. Did you hear that? When you see a power source of an individual, he's full of faith. People full of faith are also full of power. One single soul emanated by faith, love, and zeal can defeat all the agencies of evil. Now, I'm going to tell you something that some of you may not believe, but it's the truth anyway. There's nothing I can't do. There's not a thing I can't do. There's a lot of things I don't want to do. But there's not a thing I can't do, because all things are possible to them that believe. Now, you can call that extreme. You can call it overbalance. Jesus said all things are possible or in the realm of possibility to them that believe the uncompromised word of God. The point is this. People full of faith are also full of power. One single soul, one single mind, one single will, one single emotion emanated by faith, love, and zeal can defeat all the agencies of evil. When the devil comes at me many times and said, I'm going to put you in the valley of, oh no, and I'm going to cause mischief in your camp. I said, forget it. Never, because I'm one single soul emanated by love, zeal, and faith. That's not an agency you can throw against me that I cannot walk on and defeat. You hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about the valley of Ono. I never forget the first time God told me to pray for my mother-in-law. The Lord spoke to him. I was in prayer. And the Lord said, Jesse, would you do what I tell you to do? I said, God, I would do anything. Just ask of me. He says, pray for Irene. I went, oh, no, God. Lord, no, please. Oh, God, she's a heathen. She might get saved, God. Then I'm going to have to live with her forever. Oh, no. And you know what? I wasn't. I felt that way. Because, you see, me and her didn't click. We didn't clack neither. We had nothing in common other than her daughter. How many people know where I'm coming from? Don't lift your hand up, for God's sake. Keep it down. Look at one guy. But you see, I had to be full of faith, to be full of power, to produce. I had to animate the faith, the love, and the zeal out of my spirit. And then, boy, when I broke that thing in my life, because I always thought about the past events. The Lord said, the past is gone and forgotten. Who are you to dig in the cesspool of the devil and bring up trash? How can she ever get saved with a spirit like that in you, Jesse? That was about, what, four or five years ago. And I said, my God, I repent. He said, let's see if you do. Go pray for her. I never forget. I went and prayed for her. She said, what do you want? And I said to myself, Oh, no. The Lord said, crucify your flesh and pray a prayer of faith for her flesh. See, nothing wrong with that woman. There was something wrong with me. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Look, all the men, they done got quiet. He was going good. I'm talking about the valley of, oh, no. When God will tell you to walk in front of somebody, walk to the front in front of everybody, and all of a sudden you begin to feel that little dance in your feet. Or maybe you do one of them Mitchell kind, you know, you kind of swing around. And, you know, of course, Mary, ain't no telling what she does. She just goes up, glory to God. And God begins to move upon you like that, and you go, no, God. No, I remember the first time God ever made me dance. You ought to have seen that. Just the legs moved. I said, no, God. No, he said, move. I went, glory to God. Boy, I mean, I did everything I could to hold my leg. I didn't want to dance. Why? Because crazy people dance in church. Then it began to travel up, man. And I looked worse trying to stand still. So I put one of them charismatic hops on that boy. You know, Frank, he does that too. You ever know Frank? He danced like this. You ever notice that? Frank's my friend. He's in the valley of, oh no, tonight. Frank, you know when Frank, you ever get around Frank when he pray, when he prays for you? Jesus spits all over you. The reason why I know, because I do it too. I saw some people last night in the line, they're going. Then I dawned on them, I was spitting in their face. And Mitchell and Rusty wasn't saying nothing. They're just praying. I said, thank the Lord, their eyes is closed. I was wondering why Mitchell's always giving me water. You drink this. You ever go pray? Go be prayed by a Pentecostal spirit-filled preacher? I was with R.W. Shambach on New Year's Eve. You ever seen that man anoint people with oil? Whoo, Lord. Don't wear a good suit to his meetings. He will put your suit in the valley of, oh no. He stick his hand in a 5-gallon bucket. I guarantee you, you are greased in the Holy Ghost. The valley of, oh no. Notice the point. People full of faith are also full of power. Now, if your power is not working, then maybe your faith level is not where it should be. People full of faith are also full of power. One single soul emanated by faith, love, and zeal can defeat all the agencies of evil. Agencies of evil. I had an agency of evil hit me today. It was a wasp. I was in my backyard today and weeding, feeding my yard. And that wasp come out there like as if he owned the place. He was an agency of evil. Say, what did you do? I defeated him. What did you do? I'm not going to tell you what I done. But he is in wasp hell tonight. Glory to God. I really believe he went to hell, as far as I'm concerned. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 8. I'm talking about the valley of, oh no. Have you had a, let me ask you this. Have you ever had a baby Christian? Here you are, you're preaching the word of God. Or maybe you're a cell group leader. How many cell group leaders we got here tonight? Lift your hand up. Glory to God. Isn't that a blessing? You're a cell group leader. You're in a position of authority. You've got God's word for that night to minister. And one of them newborn baby Christians come up to you and say, hey man, you believe in healing? Yeah, well, let's get this person healed tonight. Now. And the first thing you say is, well, which mystery was here? Or maybe a devil starts manifesting. What am I do with this devil? I guess they had one manifest in their cell group back there. I don't know. Let me get a hold of Mitchell. Let me get a hold of somebody. Let Frank do this. I don't want to mess with this. You ever had a baby Christian come to you and say, what's the matter with you? Can't you stand on the word of God? You ever had a baby Christian look at you and say, how come you're sick? Bless God, don't you believe by faith Jesus Christ has healed your body? And you go, oh, no. Come tell me that. Who do you think you are, you peanut? Psalms 8 says this, verse 2. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. I've had baby Christians come up to me and tell me all to stand on the word of God. I thought, who do you think you are, you peanut novice? And the Lord said, I sent them to you. Notice baby Christians. They wow. They get saved, they ready. Notice that? There's no such thing as the valley of oh no for a baby Christian. They are full of faith. They've got a revelation of Jesus till they get beside an old Christian to try to calm them down. You get a newborn baby Christian, brother. You tell him, all right, we're going down to this crazy house and we're going to wipe it out. And they go, okay, let's go. We're ready. They may not have a lick of wisdom or a lick of sense, but they got a lot of zeal. And if you are developed in the word of God, you can take that baby Christian will whip every devil with its diaper. Just whip every devil with its diaper. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. I never forget one time I took a baby Christian with me to pray for a man that was dying of cancer, terrible in General Hospital, 28 years old. He'd been saved about 3 days. I said, brother, I looked at that man, and I said, God's going to heal you. And that baby Christian said, yes, amen. He was ready. And he didn't know much about praying. He said, brother Jesse, it's okay if I keep my eyes open when I pray. I said, yeah. I said, why? I want to see this thing. I'm ready. And the mother-in-law of that boy said, he's going to die. And I said, with that mouth of yours, he'll die for sure. I said, how can you say such a thing when this man's trying to live? And that baby Christian said, why don't you leave? We ain't got time to play with doubt here. We're going to get this man healed. Then he looked at me, aren't we, Brother Jesse? I thought of myself in that room by myself and those family members, and I went, oh, no, God. Certainly they're going to do me mischief in here. But out of the mouths of babes and sucklings has God ordained strength. The point is this, people full of faith are also full of power. One single soul emanated by faith, love, and zeal can defeat all the agencies of evil. Nehemiah said, certainly I can't go to the valley of oh, no. Oh, no, God. Oh, no, Lord. Lord, I don't want to give no more money. Oh, no, God. You ever had God, some of you husbands ever had God tell you to go apologize to your wife? First thing I said, no, oh, no. I said, God, you don't understand. He said, what make you say that? I said, you ain't never been married. You don't understand. The Bible said, reason with God. Please, okay? I've had God say, shut up, Jesse. Go down there and apologize to Kathy. Of course, Kathy's waiting for it. Maybe you people watching my television, you're in the valley of, oh, no, tonight. You think, oh, no, man. There's no way I can make it tomorrow. You can make it through Jesus Christ if you let him. He'll pull you out of the valley of, oh, no, and put you in the valley of, oh, yes. All you got to do is say yes to Jesus. Jesus says yes to do, and your no days are over because you're walking in the light of his word. That doesn't mean you don't have any trouble. You just walk on trouble, and you just jog over the trouble of life, and you assure total success, total complete success in God because, you see, when a man has Jesus, he has everything. How many of you people here in this audience, you have Jesus? You have everything. Isn't that a blessing of God? Give him a good hand. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Oh, no. It's amazing. than most people live. You ever hear this? You ever had maybe Brother Mitchell, Brother Doug, maybe Brother Frank, Sister Paris, I don't know, walk up to you and say, why don't you sing a song tonight? Oh, no. And you want to sing, you lying like a dog. You really want to sing. You say, oh, no, I can't sing. They say, well, okay, but I'll do it. Why, when God opens up a door for you to walk in, you've been praying for God to do that, you step in the valley of, oh, no. All you people have been shouting and praising God since the church started, waiting for a move to touch the New Orleans area. And the first thing that comes up against is these big visions, and people say, oh, no, there's no way. See, you're in the valley of, oh, no. See, the devil's done convinced you that mischief will come to you in that valley. But look at our economy. Let me tell you something about our economy. God sent 3 million people in the desert, and Exxon wasn't there. You hear what I'm saying? Exxon wasn't there. Neither was Texaco or Mobil. Neither was IBM or AT&T or AT&T. There was nothing but sand. God said, Moses, lead them in a desert. 3 million people. No water. A bunch of crazy sheep. Bunch of crazy cows, dogs, chickens, and a backslidden church with a saved leader. No place to drink. 3 million. No army. Been slaves all their life. Only thing they ever knew in their life was bricks, straw, and mortar. God said, I'm going to keep them warm. Do you know how big that pillar of fire was at night to cover 3 million people? You know how cold it is on a desert? And that great cloud by day to keep the sun off of them. And the kids growing and the foot growing with the shoe, the dress growing with the girl. There was no clothing shops neither. Nothing wore out. I mean, it'd be kind of odd if 1.5 million women came up to Moses and said, where's the mall? And he'd have told him, we don't have it. Oh, no. It's a miracle about a mall. Malls cause more miracles than anything I've ever seen in my life. I've had Kathy lay up in bed, go, I tell you, I'm so tired. I just think I'm going to lay here all day. I say, would you like to go to the mall? Glory to God. A miracle. Walking slow, but when they hit them malls, they can knock down 92 stores in 3 hours. Wah-wah-wah-wah, like the road runner. Them women got them radars up for them sales racks. There it is over there. Glory to God. And they come back and say, would you mind washing the dishes? Oh, Jesus. Oh, no. I have 2 women living in my house, my wife and my daughter. We have a dishwasher. All you got to do is push the button. And they argue over who's going to push the button. Why don't you push the button? I don't want to push the button. Why don't you push the button? I believe if my dog could talk, he'd stick his paw up there and push that button. Get rid of from that argument stuff. Oh, no. I thought yesterday me and Brother Frank were fellowshipping in his home. He's got this dog that breathes like a heater. Yep. His dog's like a heater. This dog is a very happy dog because he smiles all the time. Ha! And he got bad breath. It's Frank's dog. And I said, Frank, I noticed the dog's a bit dirty. I said, when's the last time you washed this dog? He said, oh, a few months ago. I said, oh, no, I can't. He said, we need to wash him again. I said, yeah, to myself. He sure do. That dog would come up to me and sit there and look at me and go, I was in the valley of, oh, no. And I thought that was bad, but bless God. Then they got a Korean cat. They got a cat, man, that come up there, looked at me and went, just slap me. Slap me on my hand. I was like, bam. I said, go for the God. So here's a cat slapping me and a dog going,
Frank asked me a dumb question. He said, "You're hungry? You can't drink nothing around the dog because he wants your ice." Is that the truth? Isn't that true? You go to drink, he sees the ice, he go, "Huh?" Now, Paris loves him. I like Paris. She walks, because that dog's bigger than Paris. And Paris got in the valley, oh no, last night, that dog. The dog was in the kitchen. She went, Frank said, "Paris." See, every time she sees that dog, she's in the valley of oh no. They got a cat that knows how to open up the door. This cat slides the door. Just think what he can do your hand. Bam! If he can open up a sliding door. And we were sitting there, dog in my face, cat slapping me on the hand. And I said, "Oh, how does Frank live with this big dog?" "He don't." He says, "Caleb, sit there." Caleb's like a kid. He'll sit for a while. Now, I mess him up, really. A lot of time I look at him and I just go. And he's very quick. He looks. And then he goes. Then Paris said, "You're going to make him bark. You're going to make him bark." Never forget one time I went to his house. Boy, don't ever go there if they're not there. Don't open up that letter slot with that dog in that house. I opened up that letter slot and spit hit my hand, brother. That dog bit right. I went, "Jesus, glory to God." I said, "Oh, no, I ain't hanging around here. I'll come back when Frank's there." Now, let me show you something here. It's good to laugh, but there's points to all this. Most people get in the valley of oh no when a temptation comes. Walking down the street, you're praising God, and you're running to this foxy mama. She says, "What's happening, big boy?" Especially Frank, since he's macho. Glory to God. I'm giving him a hard time tonight. And here you are trying to pray, and this foxy mama's in your face. Temptations. Tests and trials. I want you to listen to this point. The best defense against temptation is to be pledged to a positive biblical life of active service. I want you to listen to this. And if you got a pen, you write this down. This will help you in later times to come. The best defense against temptation. I'm talking about in the valley of, oh no, maybe you like to drink. Sure enough, everybody want to buy you a drink. Stick it right in your snozzola. And you go, oh, and man, your mouth begin to salivate. Saliva go. And you think about that scotch and that bourbon and that tequila margarita. You go, oh, and you standing on the water, God, I'm not drink. I have nothing to do with that. But boy, your mouth is going, you're like that Caleb dog. Listen to my point. The best defense against temptation, or the best defense against temptation, is to be pledged to a positive, everybody say positive, to a positive biblical life of active service. Now here's the point. The spirit of work must set itself against the spirit of compromise. The spirit of work must set itself against the spirit of compromise. A lot of people have asked me in the 9 years that I've traveled, "Brother Jesse, many people have traveled like you and many have fell by the wayside. Why don't you have problems with that? You by yourself a lot. You're on the road all the time. Aren't you approached, my God? Don't at times when you're by yourself, the devil don't come against you?" Yeah, but you see, I put the spirit of work, the spirit, the comforter of God that's inside of me, I set it against the spirit of compromise. Tonight I could walk out of this building and go get stinking drunk if I wanted to. And if I wanted to snort cocaine, I probably could buy it somewhere. But I have put the spirit of work in me and it sets itself against the spirit of compromise. I have lived a positive biblical life of active service. When you become inactive is when when temptation controls you. But as long as you're active, you've pledged yourself to a positive, biblical life of active service. The spirit of work or the Holy Ghost in you sets itself against the spirit of compromise. When the valley of oh no comes against you, you immediately stand up and say, no, I'll have nothing to do with temptation. I'll have nothing to do with the devil. I'll have nothing to do with sickness. I'll have nothing to do with disease, poverty. Bless God, this Holy Ghost, this comforter, it's inside of me, will guide me in all truth. I refuse to compromise. No matter what anybody else is doing, I'm going to believe God, whether I'm in the valley of oh no or not, because the greater one lives inside of me. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? Notice the point. The best defense against temptation is to be pledged to a positive biblical life of active service. Are you in an active service of God? Are you walking in the light of God's truth? Is your Christianity activated to the point that it controls your wallet, controls your mind, and controls your spirit and your body? I'm talking about an active, biblical, positive life of knowing Jesus. The spirit of work will set itself against the spirit of compromise. You refuse to fall because of the greater one inside of you. No matter if you got a drinking problem in your mouth, you drooling all over yourself. And that flesh is saying, give it to me, give it to me. You say, no, my spirit, my Holy Ghost has set itself against this spirit of compromise. People tell you, how do you do it? You live an active life of biblical service. And in the middle of the valley of, oh no, I used to drink, people, I drank a fifth of whiskey a day, asked my wife. I'd eat eggs and bacon and drink bourbon in the morning, 7 o'clock. Instead of a glass of milk, I'd fry my own bacon with my own booze. And brother, you just don't quit like that. But brother, how many times people put booze in front of me? Went to work for Shell Oil Company. What I wasn't, went to work for Shell Oil Company 2 weeks already, then had scotch and bourbon and everything thrown in front of my face. Man, I smelled it, man. My mouth went, woo, yeah. Lord, by myself, nobody see me. But I was living a positive, biblical, active service in God. And I told my body, no, I don't care how much you shake. I don't care how much you tremble. I will not be moved by you. The spirit of God sets itself against the spirit of compromise. Boy, and the temptation leaves you and you go forth. That'll stop a lot of this fornicating going on. It'll stop a lot of this adultery going on. The guy come lie to me. I couldn't help it, Brother Jesse. I saw the woman and I was snared. You lying dog. You wasn't snared. That mama said, how you doing, big boy? You said, fine, sweet mama. Come on. That's how it happens. No, you tell your Holy Ghost, be quiet. We will repent tomorrow. Give me that lie. Bible said, there hath no temptation taking you. You hear? Taking you. Or can possess you. God said he'll make a way of escape. But if you don't live, or you're not pledged to a positive biblical life of active service, if your spirit of work in you will set yourself against the spirit of compromise, you will not fall. Now, hang on. Don't get disturbed if you get a thought. You hear what I'm saying? You're walking down the street. Some gorgeous woman or some hunk of a man looks at you and says, hi. And you go, ooh. You hadn't sinned. You hadn't sinned. First thing your mind said, look at that boy there. Ooh, Lord. Got hair on his head. And he might even talk right. You know, they got some men that when they talk, women just, they got that voice. They're certain about their voice. Hello, I don't know how to do it, but I can't. Glory to God. How do you know that, Brother Jesse? Because, see, I stay in airports a lot, and I watch women, and I watch men. I love to watch people. I get a lot of sermons. I really do. And boy, there'd be some good-looking hunk walking down the airport, especially in Atlanta. He's walking down there. And most guys that are real good-looking, they don't walk normal. You know, they kind of got that, I don't know what. They got that cool way of walking. You know, I don't know. And you'll see ladies, they'll pass them. And you and the ladies won't look at the men. They'll look at each other and go. Now, men do this. Good God. See, men don't care. But women are a little bit more subtle. They just look and go. That's not a sin. It's a sin to turn around and follow them. Because then the thought becomes an action. You hear what I'm saying? Then the thought becomes an action. As long as it's a thought, remember, let it abort itself. Just let it die. Let it abort itself. Bring every thought into captivity. When you throw that ugly thought in the blessed God pot of the Holy Ghost, it's gone. See? The valley of, oh no. You'd be surprised how much temptation the devil will throw in front of a preacher. Simply not because he's good looking or macho or anything of that nature. It's just simply because he's a preacher. Simply because he's a preacher. God is interested in destroying the good news, which is the gospel of Christ. And of course, he'll kill the person at the same time. But he's interested in taking the gospel and drag it through the miry clay. See, if he can drag the gospel through the miry clay, more people will go to hell. Not because the man fell, but because the gospel was dragged through the dirt. And the devil will say, you see, that gospel doesn't work. If that gospel really worked, that man wouldn't have done that. You hear what I'm trying to say? The point is this. The best defense against temptation is to be pledged to a positive biblical life of active service. The spirit of work must be set against the spirit of compromise. I refuse to compromise my life. How about you? And there's been times I've been in the valley of, oh, no. I had a woman one time grab my leg on an air. She grabbed my leg. She said, hi. I said, whoa, geez. There was two men sitting over this when they went, you know how men are. Oh, yeah, get down. She was a pretty lady, too. It wasn't no dog. I just looked at her and said, honey, you got your hand on a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled leg. She went, ooh, Lord. But you know what I could have done? I'm on a jet flying to Pennsylvania. You don't know where I'm at. Nobody knows me on the jet. And she's going to the same place I am. And she tells me, man, you got pretty hair. See, I like your hair. Ooh, Lord. You know, but if I hadn't been living a positive, biblical, active life of service to God, I could fall just like anyone else. I'm human. So are you. I just told the girl about the Holy Ghost. I said, man. See, immediately, I tell you the first thing happened. When she grabbed my leg, first thing I did was this. I'll be honest with you, I went, oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, it kind of freaked you out for a minute, you know. If you don't believe me, but don't do it. But somebody grab your leg, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, no. First thing happens, I mean, you know, just kind of come, whoa, Jack. I had a woman in Houston, Texas try to hug me, and she said, well, Jessica, can I hug you? I've had people hug me all the time. I said, yeah, I've been having people hug me and other women hug me for years. But this woman hugged me. I mean, it caught me off guard. I never forget. I went, I dropped my hands. I just, you know, I normally I just, God bless you. And I went, oh, and she was going, ooh, Lord. And the pastor's wife going, ah. The pastor's wife was in the valley of, oh, no worse than I was. I just had to rebuke the devil, embarrass the devil, not the woman. I just embarrassed the devil in her. That's all. But the first thing come to your mind is, oh, no. Jesus, whoa, Lord. See? But if you hadn't been living a positive biblical life of active service, you'll like that. Did you hear what I said? You'll like that. Your flesh will be stronger than your soul and your spirit. And before you know it, you'll be dictated by the flesh. Now, how many people have you done something you didn't want to do? Lift your hand up. Since you've been a Christian, lift your hand up. Hold your hand up. Be honest. Since you've been a Christian. You know why? The flesh dictated to you. Your spirit did not come over that. You did not crucify your flesh in that particular area of your life. That's how come people sin. You know, if you walk in the spirit, you'll not sin. Can I tell you one more thing? The other day I had something real hard come against my ministry over the phone. First thing I wanted to say was, oh, no. But I hung the phone up and went, Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. The power of God's going to move for this heathen world to see. Now, I heard them devils go, he's happy. He's supposed to be sad. God had a chance to show himself strong in me. And I took that challenge. I said, come on, Holy Ghost. Let's go. Then them devils were going, oh, no. God, no. Oh, no. When the biggest problem comes against you, shout. Be of good cheer. God has an opportunity to show himself strong in you. Everybody bow your heads.